The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Closer, my child.
Yo, guys, back with another mixtape, and once again, I have Brian with me, Demon Erasers, as always.
What's up?
And we also have a special treat. This week I have my buddy Ricardo on from Contend for the Faith and also the Question the Narrative podcast. What's going on, Ricardo?
What's up, buddy? It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, excited about this.
Yeah,
me and Ricardo have been talking about collaborating on a few more things recently, and I said I just wanted to get him on the mixtape. And I think this is the perfect format to get. I like to get a lot of feedback on these videos because it's just more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, guys, once again, it's chill time. If you guys like this podcast, please subscribe. And if you guys are listening on Spotify or Apple, please give me a 5-star review. That would really help me out. And with that being out of the way, let's go right to the first video, which I think I've got. I've got a little bit of a theme, but we're going to roll with it. Today, we're going to go talk about some ancient mysteries and maybe some mysteries that are not ancient, but they're still historical anomalies.
Hey, the real Pharaoh's curse is that we haven't built a pyramid bigger than Giza yet. I mean, just look at it. This thing is massive and it's over 4,000 years old. Oh, but we do have a pyramid bigger than that and nobody's talking about it. The Great Pyramid of Giza is peanuts against the buried Pyramid of the Sun in Bosnia, and you will not believe what they found there. In 2005, archaeologist Dr. Samir Osmanagic realized, hey, this hill in the small Bosnian city of Visoko is oddly shaped like a pyramid. And shaped like a pyramid was an understatement. This hill has virtually every characteristic of a real pyramid, and we continue to ignore it. To start, it has four triangular sides. That's it. Pyramid confirmed. We're done. Joking, but it's got even grade slopes and corners that connect perfectly under the foliage, along with an apex at the very top, the exact shape of a pyramid, but oh, it don't end there, Johnny boy. It's also perfectly aligned to the cardinal directions, northeast, south, and west, much like Giza. In fact, this one is even more aligned to true north than Giza, being only 1/300th of a degree off from perfect north, whereas Giza is 2/60th of a degree off. They even took EMF, electromagnetic frequency readers, to the top and saw readings of 60 times more of what is normally expected on Earth, another phenomenon that tends to occur at the pyramids, and the reason why is so mind-baffling that we'll have to save that for a future video. This hill was aptly named the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the first pyramid of its kind in Europe, taller than the Great Pyramid of Giza and even bigger than the biggest pyramid of the world, Cholula in Mexico, with four other smaller hills around it that are also suspected to be pyramids or some other structures, as is usually the case at these ancient sites. Sure, it might just look like a hill covered in trees, but have a look at what the Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan, Mexico looked like before it was excavated and after. Same with Machu Picchu and after, and Chichen Itza. And after. Any ancient site that isn't in a desert is typically covered with overgrowth, and the Bosnian pyramid is looking a lot like that before stage. And just have a look at these drone shots and tell me these formations look natural to you. So Dr. Osmanagic began the excavations, and now get this, radiocarbon analysis taken from the rocks hidden beneath the vegetation revealed that this pyramid would be over 35,000 years old, the oldest pyramid in the world by a long shot, over 30,000 years older than Giza, during a time in which traditional history claims only only tribes and cavemen, incapable of erecting such monuments, roamed the earth, far before any civilizations began to form, or so we think. For reference, here's a timeline of all major ancient civilizations and structures built around the world. And here is where the Bazian Pyramid would stand in that timeline. Excavations also revealed huge blocks of 7 tons each, stacked with geopolymer binding, which is an ancient type of cement, and perfect placement, along with perfectly landscaped terraces and other obvious architectural design, but oh no, these are all natural. Note that this was all uncovered up to a meter underground, as would be expected of a pyramid over 35,000 years old. And of course, the archaeological gatekeepers of the world insisted this is just coincidental, with some even going as far as saying Dr. Osmanagic purposely placed these carved stones here to deceive the public. And famed Egyptologist Zahi Hawass, who oversees most of the Egyptian pyramid investigations, even petitioning the Bazian government to stop these excavations. Within hours of this international discovery, the story is swept under the rug and labeled a hoax. Well, over 50 archaeologists around the world remained optimistic and actually joined Osmanagic's work in Bosnia, with virtually every single one of them who actually saw it in person confirming that nature could not have formed these hills. Further studies revealing an entire underground tunnel system in the area, the longest subterranean complex of any pyramid in the world. Inside these tunnels, large stone blocks were found that clearly seemed to be artificially created and placed. Other artifacts, like this giant round stone that no one can explain, and a whole bunch of other smaller ancient trinkets, statues, and even what appears to be a map carved into stone, were all found around the Bosnian Valley of Pyramids, all dismissed as irrelevant or flat out ignored by mainstream archaeology. Even the peak of the Sun Pyramid forms a perfect triangle with the peaks of the nearby hills, dubbed the Pyramids of the Moon and the Dragon. Another crazy coincidence, right? After much pushback, the government actually did grant Osmanagic the right to continue excavations. But with no official funding, the entire project depends on donations and volunteer work. These excavations are still going on, but after tourism to Bosnia slowed down in the last couple of years, progress on these pyramids have as well. As with anything, you could probably rationalize a completely valid reason for each of these discoveries, and maybe it really is somehow just a hill, so you think we're tweaking on this one, or are we onto something? Who's ready to get digging?
Yeah, so what do you think of that, Ricardo? Do you think that's a real pyramid, or do you think that's just a natural rock formation?
Well, I was going to say, we got stuff like that here close by where I live. It's called Pinson Mounds. Mm-hmm. And all of these things...
How do you spell that?
P-I-N-S-O-N. Pinson Mounds. And you look at this, and it just looks like a hill of grass like that. But if you get a higher view of it, it's perfectly symmetrical, like what he's saying. And these sites are all over the place, where people are mistakenly calling these things hills or whatever because they got grass and they mow it now. But if you actually take a look, it's so symmetrical.
Yeah, interesting. So this is in Tennessee?
Yeah, if you get like a higher view of that too, like you could just see the sharp lines.
This is the burial mounds.
Yeah, you could see the sharp lines and stuff like that that you were seeing in that one video. And yeah, it's people just mistake that for just a hill. And it's just like what we've been discussing about, you know, our timeline, our history. It's just all kind of matching up, you know what I'm saying? And he's talking about like, how did these people build these things? You know, it's just kind of like when we were talking about the old world Tartaria buildings, when you got these people who didn't even have power tools supposedly built all these big mansions. And then he's going back and saying like, well, who built the pyramids? And it wasn't these people, then who was it? It's kind of the same dilemma that we've been in, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm looking. Here's another picture that doesn't look like a regular hill.
It's definitely not a regular hill. It's definitely not a regular hill.
But it's got grass, and they mow it, and you know,
it's not a hill, dude. They can dig into those. This is the Indian burial mounds, bro.
Yeah.
Those are straight up Indian burial mounds. So in those hills, they dug into those hills, and they found giant bones. They found giant remains of giant bones.
Not only that, but there's probably stone under there, right? Like you said, it's probably just like all those other things. It's like, yeah, there's more. Mm-hmm. It's not just a hill. It's not just dirt. There's a tomb probably under there. There's other things. Maybe there's a whole building under there. Mm-hmm. As much sediment could have filled that in, right? This might just be the top of something.
That's just the cap, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. You know, it's interesting. I got one to show you right here. I was like, I already had this prepared. So when I went to Sedona, let me see. I went to Sedona last year, and I went surveying, and I saw this.
Oh, yeah. Look at that sharp line. That gives it away.
Yeah, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, so obviously there's a trail in it called Pyramid Trail. And I was like, dang, yeah, does that look normal? Do you think that looks natural?
No.
I don't think it looks natural. I mean, obviously, then you think about all the whatever happened with potentially Armageddon happening and all the other things happening. Like, what did that place look like in its glory? And obviously, Sedona is a place that has lots of New Agey spiritual vortexes, and I think even the Native Americans called this, I forgot, there was a name of this, like a mythical city that was there.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah, there's even a going theory too. There's this guy on YouTube, I forget his name at the moment, but he is of the belief, you know, that a lot of even what we call these mountains are literally petrified trees. Which is very interesting. And he has all the receipts. He shows all the similarities and stuff. So like a lot of these rock formations, they're actually trees and like big trees that like maybe have been fallen, but now they're totally fossilized or what's the word I'm looking for?
Petrified.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did a whole podcast. We did a Decoding Babylon about are these giant tree stumps, that whole theory. I like that theory better than what is it, that they were all once old giants and dinosaurs and dragons and stuff. Cause I'm just like, to me, it's like, okay, you see a face, you can see faces everywhere. I don't like the mud fossil theories.
That's humans' natural desire to recognize faces. Like there's a condition for it. Okay,
like so you like do people, in the clouds.
Yes, exactly. Like so, anytime we see there's a word for it. I forget the word, but anytime you see cemetery
or something like that.
Yeah, anytime you see cemetery, you can make a face. Okay, it's like default. Like I'm an artist, so like I draw stuff, and all the times like I used to be or whatever. And so like anytime you see a cemetery of something, it's a face immediately. That's what we think. Like, so it doesn't really matter what it is. It could be a distorted face, or you can see the side profile of something. We think it's a face. And so it's just so ridiculous to assume that like these mountain ranges are all petrified giants, but they definitely are trees. I definitely would agree with that. And I'd say about that video we just watched, like it's so minus the year being 35,000 years old, minus the year. I mean, the pyramid, that could be, you know, the original Tower of Babel for all we know at this point, like, because like God divided the earth and like the pyramids are Towers of Babel. That's just my belief. And that's what I explain to people and try to like say, hey, look, anytime you see a pyramid, they were sacrificing humans there. And it was a sacrificial point and it was a miniature Tower of Babel. And the reason why you see the pyramids all over the earth is because Towers of Babel just kept getting built after God divided the earth. And that's why you see the pyramids everywhere. They're trying to make vortex spaces to permeate into the heavens. And so like that, I mean, a massive pyramid like that, I would love to go dig that thing up and see if that's, you know, see what kind of weird things you'll find. But I would, you know, if it's that old, if it's somehow able to determine the age of the earth, which is ridiculous to me, laughable at best. But like, if it is really old, like, I mean, who knows? It could be the OG Tower of Babel right there that people are looking at. Shoot.
Well, the one thing, yeah, to comment, that's so stupid that they say they found some rocks to date this 35,000 years old. And obviously I was like kind of cringing when I was watching the timeline stuff. It's like, cause obviously we've done podcasts talking about that. The timeline is nonsense. Obviously the timeline is just literally, and I said, maybe I wouldn't say it's nonsense. I think we have stories and people have tried their best to fill in the time, but a lot of it's based on when the biblical account, you know, because they're trying to line certain things up, but it's like, but without a really good starting point or like even a part where like the book ends, like of actual history, we don't know. And obviously the Bible doesn't talk about Bosnia, you know, it doesn't talk about specific parts of the world. So like trying to date those versus anything else. I mean, to me, it kind of makes sense that, yeah, if that was really a pyramid, which I believe it probably was, that those pyramids were built around the same time the other pyramids were built. because it was a time when people were doing all that stuff. So when was that? I don't think they built some pyramid 35,000 years ago, and then they built the Great Pyramids of 4,000 years ago. Come on, like that. I think that's why the people who've done the research that Brian and I have done, like our ancient angels and even the ancient alien guys, the Graham Hancocks, we have made the connection that having pyramids on almost every continent, maybe every continent, it leads one to conclude that there was this connected civilization. And I believe that that was likely the days of Noah civilization, the wicked one, the one that got destroyed. And that's why, like, they're all have super megalithic stones. We have no idea how they could move those stones. Even the stuff afterwards, even like the most impressive new world or old world type architecture. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. They don't have the stones, like the 1,000,000-pound stones. They got some really big ones, big columns, crazy stuff, but not like the 1,000,000-pound stones, like in Baalbek in Lebanon. And yeah, just this, the scale of like the pyramids are ridiculous.
Yeah. That timeline too, I was thinking about it. What do we even have as far as like material wise that would even last and even stay standing for 35,000 years? You know what I'm saying? Like everything deteriorates after some time, unless after 35,000 years, if he's right, this thing was touching the sky or something, then it's just deteriorated down to what it is right now. Or the earth is a lot younger than maybe what people say. And that's kind of what I think. So if this was back in the days of Noah, maybe possibly 6,000 years ago, which sounds a little bit more reasonable to me, like just the aging of this stuff.
Well, it kind of makes sense in the days of Noah, like how would sediment get on the top of a pyramid, right? Well, if the flood waters were higher than the highest mountaintop, well, that would explain how sediment could cover that, because like the mud flood research really does not explain how pyramids would be completely buried. I don't think, because because the pyramids are too tall. But maybe that's why you would see pyramids in like Egypt, in a desert where sand would easily move and move back and forth. But yeah, like in those kind of places, you'd get the overgrowth. But yeah, you can't really date something without a comparable thing to date it with. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was listening to Gunnar Heinsohn, the German historian who did the chronology research we did. They asked him about carbon dating on one of the podcasts, and he said he doesn't really deal in that, but he says he knows a famous carbon dater. He didn't give the name, and he said, carbon dating is a prostitute. You can get it to do whatever you want it to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, the dry German sense of humor. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That actually does, because it does. It's like, obviously you can date things to be really old. You know, like you can send it to different labs and they never get the same dates. It's not accurate. It's used as a tool.
Even in that one podcast that you guys did when you were going through that interview, you know, they're talking about the tree rings and they think that's some sort of reliable way of dating stuff is, oh, well, just look at the tree rings, easy, you know, but it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. And it's just shocking that these scholarly people, they still cling to that. You know what I'm saying?
The dendrochronology. I think that what they say is that you have to have, like, they feel like they can determine it, that you have to have a master tree ring. So they have a list of like the tree rings, and they would say this tree ring came from this date, and you could find other trees that would have similar rings. It's really wild that we would believe that, like, how accurate could that be? Like, well, there's too many other variables that you would have to know for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can't date something 2,000 years. I don't really care what you say. Like, that's far from fact. That's not even really science. That's obviously wild speculation. And again, it's like, it's more like this is a appeal to authority. Oh, well, I'm a dendrochronologist. Yeah. I mean, I could chop down a tree and count the rings. Does that make me a scientist?
Yeah. No. No,
all right,
not at all.
Let's go to the next video. This is interesting. Well, maybe this will tie this into the next thing, but I don't know if you guys have ever heard this. This was I almost made a video about this a long time ago, but I didn't really know how to do it. So now we're going to just do this.
Deep in the woods near Damascus, Oregon, sits a temple, the Temple of Oculus Anubis. This strange place is shrouded with mystery and has been rumored to be a cult gathering site. Many of the citizens has even gone far to call this place the creepiest place in Oregon. With a population of just over 11,000, Damascus is a friendly, quiet community known for its charming farms and natural beauty. This town is the last place you'd expect to find something as eerie as a temple called Oculus Anubis. Located at the end of a quiet street, Oculus Anubis is not your average Oregon residence. The property is home to an ominous black gate, a statue of the Egyptian goddess Sekhmet, and two twin stone pyramids. The bizarre architecture has not gone unnoticed, and many people have deemed Oculus Anubis as the creepiest place in Oregon. While not much is actually known about what goes on behind the gates, there are plenty of crazy theories. Rumor has it that Oculus Anubis is a cult gathering site, and that the property has $2 million worth of underground tunnels. Other sources maintain that the residence simply belongs to a private family with Egyptian heritage. Whatever the case may be, there's no denying that Oculus Anubis is one of the most strangest spots in the Beaver State.
Dragon and a lion.
Mm-hmm.
That is for sure an occultic place.
Oh, yeah.
That's Egyptian. Looks like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that a stone? Did they make a gate out of stone? Archway.
It looks really old.
We could have made it look old, but
yes. What do you think about that? Have you guys ever seen that place?
No, never seen it. That's interesting. And now I want to go there.
It's funny that word got brought up because I forgot what I was looking at not too long ago, and it was about Oculus. And then I thought about those goggles that they make now too. Mm-hmm. They call them the Oculus, and I'm like, well, my mind's just kind of turning and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? But I had just literally come across that just like the other day. So that's interesting. And I hadn't dug into it further, but I'd like to.
There's a connection. I think they have another thing called the Oculus. What was it? A 9/11 site?
Is that what you're going to bring up? Of course, I was just pulling that up.
Yeah. Oculus
means eye, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Oculus means eye. And so here is... I can't remember. I probably didn't play this video for you guys on JT's mixtape, but I know I played a video about the Oculus in New York City and all the weird 9/11 stuff about that. Maybe I'll have to play that just because. We can chat about the video. I'll tease that one. We can watch that one in a minute.
the Oculus Anubis. I'll tell you guys something. You guys want to know some crazy occultic stuff?
Of course.
So, okay, stuff dealing with demons, bro. So like I have a friend in my prayer groups when I cast out demons, and she's literally stalked by the demon Anubis. I'm not even joking with you. Like
he's
literally
he's the god of the underworld, right? The dead,
the dog-headed dude, bro. Mm-hmm. And so I started like praying with her, right? And dude, like people will come into my calls and they'll be like, it's so weird when she's in the call. They'll be like, someone just like, not even a few weeks ago, came in the call and was like, yeah, like, I just have to tell you guys, I had a really weird dream before I came in the call. And that dog-headed man came to me, like the Egyptian dog-headed man came to me in my dream last night and threatened me not to come onto this call. Like, and I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. This is interesting because like this demon Anubis is very real. Okay. I'm going to tell you, he's very real, bro. I had a homeless man got possessed and brought a statue of a man with a dog head and set it at my front door. I'm not even joking, bro. Like, this is like,
right at the same time,
bro. Yes. Like this happened. Like
that'd be weird.
Dude, it's so crazy. Like Anubis literally he was like possessing and trying to affect people to do stuff, but he possessed some homeless man who came up and just set this dog headed statue of a man with a dog head in front of my door. It wasn't Anubis. It was like a, looked like a dog hound, like a like one of like those basset hounds heads, but it was still a man body. It was a king.
So he had droopy ears.
Yeah, he had droopy ears, but it was still a dog-headed statue that some homeless man put in my front door. Like,
yeah, that's weird. That's
bro,
weird timing.
Anubis is so, like, he's a very real thing. And, like, she had worshipped Anubis before we ended up praying for her, and she got deliverance. She had worshipped Anubis and had him tattooed on her leg, and she literally, she didn't realize it was a demon, though. She was under the New Age, and she thought it was, like, some spirit. So she would talk to Anubis, channel Anubis, worship Anubis, and bro, the thing was real. It showed up and it started like trying to like affect other people, and now she's like completely delivered from it and all, but like, dude, it would like do this kind of stuff all the time. It would like do crazy stuff like this, and like so I'm very familiar with Anubis. I had to deal with him. She
yeah, so
ended
Anubis
up possessing someone and started growling like through her boyfriend or whatever at the time, and like he started growling and like speaking through him. At one point, it was nuts.
Yeah, that's weird. So yeah, so Anubis is the god of funerary rites, protector of graves, and guide to the underworld. Mm-hmm. He's, but I think it's interesting that to the Egyptians, I think Osiris was the god of the underworld. So Osiris would be like kind of like I've always thought that's like your kind of your Iris and Osiris. So Osiris was like your kind of like your Antichrist type figure to the Egyptians. But then they also had which is pretty interesting, so they have the cats were like some kind of guardians of the underworld too. So yeah, they had like a dog who's like the guide to the underworld, but then the cats had some kind of connection with like the protectors, some kind of guardians of the underworld too.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah. So have you guys, so I bring this up because I'm real into Sasquatch Chronicles and also the Confessionals podcast. If you guys ever listen to those, they got a lot of good interviews on there, but they talk about Dogman a lot on that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are saying that they see this Dogman looking thing, they say it looks like Anubis.
Yeah.
Looks like Anubis.
And they're around Indian burial sites.
And they could literally see like a physical form. And everyone that sees this, they say that it's different from like Sasquatch. Like Sasquatch just seems weird, like it's physical thing. But everyone that says that they see Dogman, they say, oh, it's demonic. They just don't know what, but they're like, oh, it's demonic. Supposedly they say it's bulletproof. Like people have shot it. They can't kill it. But it's just interesting that people are seeing this, mm-hmm. but today they call it Dogman, but whenever they describe it, it's like they're describing Anubis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say black, and he says pointed ears. They'll always describe it with pointed ears.
Yeah, like a German Shepherd or something like that.
You Doberman Pinscher kind of thing.
Yeah, Doberman. Like, Doberman. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
and
it.
So that's how they describe it. But oh, yeah, they're all black dogs, like right? this. Yeah, and so like Dude, I'm going to tell you what, bro. When I've dealt with a lot of demons, a lot of demonic stuff, a lot of exorcism stuff, the Anubis demon, bro, he's like literally one of the most like tangible demons. He does like tangible stuff. Like, and it's just like so crazy. It's funny to me. Like, I think it's kind of entertaining actually, because it's like, oh, that's definitely Anubis. Like,
well, check this out. But but that was this goddess actually, Sekhmet. Mm-hmm. Is the daughter of the sun god Ra and is among the more important goddesses in Egyptian pantheon. Sekhmet acted as the vengeful manifestation of Ra's power, the Eye of Ra.
Is Sekhmet.
Sekhmet is said to be.
No, Sekhmet, sorry.
Sekhmet is said to breathe fire. The hot winds of the desert were likened to her breath. She also believed to cause plagues, which were described as being her servants or messengers, although she is called upon to ward off disease and heal the sick. You know, that's interesting. So she has something to do with medicine as well. That sounds very similar to Apollo, because I know that Apollo was also the god of plagues.
Mm.
But he was like known as like, yeah, a god of like medicine and stuff too.
Wasn't Shiva this kind of the same in the Indian culture too? It's like these all have kind of like some crossover.
Well, Shiva is, yeah, I would say that he's a comp to Apollo as well. He's the destroyer.
Right.
And they believe that Shiva has some like ability, like he was involved in creation, but it was first destruction. It was like you have to destroy this thing to make it new.
Yeah, but this brings us to like this point that you know, you brought up the Tower of Babel. It's like they're all worshiping the same exact thing, except for just in this culture they call it Shiva, this other culture they call it Apollo, this other culture they call it Sekhmet. But in reality, it's just they're all worshiping the same exact thing. And that gives credence exactly to what we're saying and gives a lot of proof of what the Bible is saying is real. Like they got separated. You know, they were all doing this one thing. They got separated, but then they just kept on business as usual. But like now it's Sekhmet over here and Apollo over there, but it's still the same thing, you know?
Well, they're all associated with the sun god. Yeah. So they're all associated with the sun. So sun worship, serpents, dog face people, all kinds of similar things. I forgot. Oh, you know, one thing just to mention real quick though, I thought a couple of interesting parts about that video. Damascus, Oregon. Of course, it was founded in 1851. Because like,
Damascus, that is funny.
Why wouldn't it be 1850? Because it's because almost everything was founded, and they said there's. What did they say? There was like 1,000 people there in 1850. All right, whatever. But yeah, you have this creepy thing. There's really not a lot of details about it. And there is Egyptian thing. People have said that these people had Egyptian heritage. Okay, so when did they come from Egypt? And they decided to build stuff like that. That's the interesting thing is like that the people in Egypt right now, they really don't have any connection with the ancient Egyptians.
No.
People don't know that, but like the word for ancient Egyptians was Kemet. So the Greeks called the Egyptians Egyptians, but they didn't. So like again, they had like the local people in Egypt did not find all the pyramid stuff. It was people from Europe found all that stuff. So like they have a lot less connection to the more ancient dynastic stuff. And obviously the stuff we're even talking about could be antediluvian. A lot of probably the most famous pyramids and statues and stuff. I think those, like I said, those people do not have the connection to it. So yeah, I think it'd be unlikely unless they were kind of just like a heritage type thing. Oh, well, we think that stuff's cool, so we're going to build statues and idols and pyramids and altars. There's obviously way more going on. And then you go another level deeper and there's tunnels under there. And because why wouldn't there be tunnels? Because there's always
why wouldn't secret, there be tunnels?
There was always secret tunnels under this stuff. How about that?
Bro, dude, there's the tunnels is so indicative of human trafficking, bro. Like it's so like that spot is a there's probably so much demonic stuff. They're probably sacrificing people, eating babies. They're doing all kinds of terrible things right there. Graping things, we'll say, and yeah, dude, it's just that's just such a wicked occultic place. I want to go push that statue down. That's what.
Well,
I
it's got
do.
It's definitely it's definitely got like the Bohemian Grove vibes.
Oh, for sure.
Like that's kind of what you think, but like this is supposedly just some. This is not a club there. This is like was supposedly like a single family residence.
That's.
I mean, I guess the truth is we really probably. I mean, based on the details, and of course, obviously, I know that video is not. Bursting with facts, like there's probably not a lot of hard facts about this place. There's a lot of mystery about it, and let's just go right into. I'm gonna play that one video because I thought this is because before we get off this video, let's play this video about the Oculus because this is some maybe this goes along with it more than we know.
Did you know that just 2 years before 9/11, the New York Transit Authority completed a massive art installation called Oculus in the World Trade Center subway station? It consisted of 301 individual eye mosaics based on photos they took of New York City school children.
The MTA's Arts for Transit's latest program here at the Park Place Station involves the installation of over 300 thought-provoking eyes and a central mosaic, and they call it Oculus.
To generate the eyes, we photographed over 1,200 New York City school kids.
Asking them to look into the depths of time, to look into infinity.
Like imagining them as if they were a deity.
As if they were a deity.
Just for an instant, show me the goddess in you. Show me the divinity. You know, just show me the intelligence in your mind. There's a clarity of your mind. Just open your eye.
Which is composed of more than 1,800,000 tesserae. Every single one of those 1,800,000 is cut on four sides by hand. Yeah. I mean, so it's a huge amount of labor that has been involved in this entire project.
And to make it all happen, 5 years of planning and thought came together in the city of Rome.
You know, let's do something that there's no question that it'll be around for the rest of time.
The central work is located in the Park Place Station under Church Street. It emanates from an eye concept surrounded by a map of the world superimposed over a map of the city of New York.
Although some parts of it were damaged and much of the subway system near Ground Zero was flooded, most of Oculus survived. The large central piece at the Park Place station is still there today. Isn't it interesting that the new $4 billion transportation hub that was opened at the World Trade Center site is also called Oculus? The architect says it's supposed to symbolize hands releasing a dove, but it clearly looks like a giant eye with huge lashes. It's designed so that it's in alignment with the sun's solar angles on each September 11th, between 8:46 and 10:28 a.m., which is the time between the first plane hitting and the second tower falling. The central skylight perfectly fits this alignment and washes the Oculus floor with a beam of light.
Okay.
So have you guys ever seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't.
Well, so show me your inner goddess, maybe like Sekhmet, maybe? Maybe Anubis? Mm-hmm. What kind of weird stuff are they talking about if it's not all the stuff we already talk about? Like, if we're wrong, give me an alternative explanation why they would have a mosaic built of, like, mm-hmm. basically having to do with, like, all these kids' eyeballs while they're told to say this, you know, to imagine weird things, and it's on the center of the world.
I don't
For
know.
What? Yeah, and then obviously even the Oculus thing, it's like, does anybody really believe that's hands releasing a dove?
No. What's interesting too is just the amount of time that they were like cutting out little one by one squares.
Those things were tiny.
And they were just setting them. That's insane the amount of time that they put into that. But even that map, it kind of strikes similar to me, like the UN map, and a lot of people say, oh, it's mm-hmm. it's like a flat earth map, and that's mm-hmm. what that kind of looked like to me. And then it's got the eye right there in the center where you would have, like, say the North Pole if you believe in like a flat earth model, or this magnetic mountain there at the middle, possibly.
Yeah, like, the eye representing something else.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's just interesting
It kind of strikes mm-hmm. you of that idea of like the Freemasonry imagery of like the eye, the all-seeing eye is at the center of, like, a lot of times they'll even show, you know, like the pillars, maybe like an arched doorway, and then the eye being at the top. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, a lot of them will say that it's the eye of providence. It has something to do with God's eye. You know, yeah. Now obviously we would disagree with them, but it is interesting that kind of that imagery where you'd have like, their God's eye would be at the center of this thing.
Isn't it this is what I had thought that the eye really means is like talking about like having your third eye open. Isn't that kind of what that's eye representative of?
Lucifer's covered in eyes. So like the eye became the symbol of Lucifer. He, like, if you talk about like the cherubim angels, that he was the covering cherub, it says. And so and the cherubim's description says they're covered in eyes. So it seems like maybe
he is
the
a cherub.
Eye symbol. Yeah, exactly. It seems like
I never thought
that,
about that. That's
yeah. That eye is representative.
I think
of
it could be. It could have multiple meanings. I think that.
Right.
I think that the third eye probably is, because it's obviously the one eye is a spiritual eye.
Yeah.
So obviously, mm-hmm. everyone, we talk about the third eye being opened, it would be a spiritual eye. You're seeing into a different kind of way. And that's clearly what they're representing, especially obviously the God thing. And mm-hmm.
yeah,
of course, it represents even like you have the eye of Ra, the sun god, you know, then you have the left eye of it's the eye of Horus, Apollo, the same thing. Apollo, Lucifer, the same thing. It's all the same thing. It all relates back to this hidden knowledge and insight into
Zeus.
The occult.
Zeus, yeah. You know, yeah. I'll tell you right now, like the I love showing that video to people that are like, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Like, I'll send that video to people. Like, and just be like, oh, really? Be like, oh, really? What do you think about this? Because just watching that alone is so mind opening. You're just like, that's freaking weird. Like, what did she just say? Like, you cannot be a normal person and watch that video and not go, okay, something's up with the Twin Tower thing. Like, what's going, like, I want to know what exactly were the Twin Towers, because there was the map of the world super transposed, which looked like terrible graphic design artistry, whoever made that, super transposed with the map of New York City. I'm curious where the Twin Towers are on that map and where it lands. If it lands like dead center of the Oculus eye, probably, I'm guessing. But like, you know, the thing that this is what I find interesting. I'll just tell you right now. Like, when we pray for people and I cast out demons and stuff, demons move through your eye. So like, this is something that you'll learn in like deliverance ministry. I have to tell people, don't look at the other person. Like, cause we'll be praying, and what will happen is a person that's got a demon will suddenly look up at a random person and make eye contact. And then that person will get like focused. They'll be like, and like they get stuck, and then the demon transmutes and it jumps to the other person. And then we have to pray for that person, because it literally just moved. And I know it sounds really weird and like woo-woo sounding, but like demons move through eye contact all the time. It's like it says the eyes are the windows to the soul.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's nuts. It's really nuts. So like, I don't know what's with the eye thing. All I know is from my experience of dealing with demons, that's how demons move in one of the ways.
Did you ever see that? Did you guys ever? Mm-hmm. You ever see that movie? I know Brian hasn't seen it because Brian hasn't seen any movies. Have you seen a Prometheus?
I have seen it.
You have?
I have seen it.
Do you remember when they went into they went into the alien ship, and then they bring back the black goo stuff, mm-hmm. and then the black goo, what does it get injected into the one guy? But he had the black goo coming out the guy's eye, or it was like a little worm coming out of his eye.
I remember a worm, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to see from this picture, but it's something to do with, like, he was really checking out his eye, and before you know it, he had sex with his girlfriend. They made an alien baby because the droid guy injected the black goo into him.
I don't remember.
Well, I mean, of course, you're thinking, like, black goo, demons, and then mm-hmm. he transferred the demons, and obviously it was related to the eyeball, once again.
Hey. Speaking of black goo, I know this was a while back, but that black goo that people were messing around with around the year 2021 or something like that, was responding mm-hmm, to mm-hmm, the mm-hmm.
I think we know what you're talking about.
Cell phone radiation. Yeah, I'm trying to like say it without saying it. I forgot exactly what they called that, if you guys remember, but like this
graphene. Black...
Yeah.
Graphene that's it. Oxide.
Yeah. But this thing was, you know, reacting to the cell phone signal, and it seemed like you can, like, what if people got this to be programmable with the whole, you know, Cinco, and then the letter.
Yeah,
at
no,
the
I
end,
know,
you know?
I know what you're saying. At some point we need to, I need to make a JT's mixtape that's all about the black goo, because it continues to come up. Yep. And I was watching that Rings of Power show, and it's really kind of stuck with me. Like, I mean, I've seen the black goo so many times in different shows and music videos, mm-hmm. but just the way that they present Sauron, and Sauron being your devil character, he appears as a man. He's really not a man. You know, he appears as an elf. He's really not an elf. He's, when he's killed, he bleeds out this black goo, and then he forms into like some kind of ball of goo. And then he possesses like an animal, a bug. And before you know it, he kills some person and takes this person's form. And then, but the way it's shown in this thing, so like he doesn't bleed regular blood. So if he ever gets cut, and I just couldn't help but think, like, dang, do you think the devil is really out there somewhere? That like he really is, that's what he is. He is like, his essence is just pure blackness and evil. And he doesn't really have a real form anymore. He appears as things. And like the black goo is some kind of connection to him. you know, through the spirits, through the other demons. And is that kind of what they're presenting? Like, cause you, a lot of times when you see it, even with the Billie Eilish video, and she's like bleeding black goo out of her eyes and things like that.
Yeah, that girl's sick.
But all of them, and again, like, you know, the Doja Cat video that's literally called Demons.
Yeah.
She's bathing in it. And of course, a hand comes out. And it's, of course, it's got claws and everything. So they're not even, I mean, obviously, they're straight up saying what it is. I think in the Billie Eilish video, she's got like these black demonic wings too. Like, I mean, it's not very subtle. But I mean, it's like, but I mean, I guess to what level is it practical? Like, I don't know.
You know, I wonder if her name is really Eilish or if it was meant to be like eyelash because she's the eye of Horus, the fancy part to the eye of Horus.
I mean, it's, well, Eilish. I think it's clearly like a play on words.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that whole Billie Eilish, Eilish video
eyelash.
is the one where she gets injected with the vaccine. Oh, did I? Wait, I'm not allowed to say the word.
Don't worry, I'll fix that.
She gets injected with the V in that music video, and
we're trying to be all careful. And
then all of a sudden, she starts growing wings. I know. I'm sorry.
No, so
then she starts growing wings, and just bleep it out.
Yeah,
I said the V word.
Yeah,
and then she starts growing wings, bro. She's a Nephilim, dude. She's like showing you that, like. The V goes in and then she grows wings like a Nephilim and then she falls like an angel and then she falls from the sky. She's straight showing you that Nephilim genetic sequencing is what they're trying to achieve in that music video. Good girls go to hell or something like that.
Yeah, she's been completely taken over by evil. Like, even did you see that on the previous window that you had it on there? Like, her eyes are just even completely white, like no pupil or anything like that. I mean, that's just pretty satanic.
Bro, I feel so bad for her. We gotta pray for her.
Yeah, she's...
Dude, that girl's probably been molested and all kinds of terrible things have happened to that girl.
You got the black eyes one right here. Oh, this one right here.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for sure it's not a good thing.
You know, the no pupil thing was actually, there's this guy, this video of this dude that talked about seeing he died. Okay. And he saw demons come to take him to hell. And he said one of the characteristics was really interesting. He described them perfectly. And one of them, he said they had pointed ears and he said they had no pupils. It was just like white, straight white eyes. And that's like, or yellow or something. He said like, that was what their eyes look like when the demons are in the spiritual realm. Kind of
I always assume the white is like your eyes had rolled back in your head, but like your eyelids are open. So like, you know, you would see the white. If I did that, the white of my eyes would be exposed, but you can't see. But it's kind of like you're looking. It's clearly a sign of like when that happens,
you're possessed or something.
It's clearly somebody's being possessed.
Yeah.
Here, let's go. Let's keep this moving. We've talked enough about demonic stuff. We're just going to talk about hidden history stuff.
We're supposed to be hidden history. Sorry, guys.
Well, yeah, it's okay.
Total demon talking.
It's fine. Like I said, this is kind of how mixtape goes.
One thing I want you to do is do a search, any old search engine, for orphan asylums in America. Here are just a few of the numerous ones you'll find throughout America. All said to be founded between the mid-1800s to late 1800s, some even earlier than that. Now just look at some of these pictures alone, and look at the age and weathering, and just sheer size and grand architecture of these buildings. These were said to house desolate children, built in a country that is just over 100 years old, according to the narrative. And we have massive palaces and places here like Cincinnati or this orphan asylum in Grand Rapids, Michigan. When you do these searches and you look at some of these small towns, look at the populations they have. This very old and weathered building is in Charleston, South Carolina, where you see that guard standing there. How is such a relatively new country erecting all these massive orphanages for children with supposedly no families. This is something you would never see replicated anywhere in the modern day. Yet we have billions of more people here today. And keep in mind, these were popping up at the same time as the equally impressive asylums for the adults. This was how they reset history. This was how they made us forget. Separation and mass relocation. From the survivors of the reset ripped from their families, brought in on the orphan trains. Question everything, friends, and until next time.
I like that guy.
He's got some excellent content. But yeah, that's obviously, what do you think about the orphanages and also the insane asylums, Ricardo?
Yeah, so we've been digging into this a lot over the past year, and I actually just did a couple videos on this on my YouTube. I just posted these, but it's the time that it was going on, and it's in my opinion, it's not a coincidence that they kind of overlap each other the way they do. It's just like at the same time, you got all these orphanages and then you got the insane asylums. And so my speculation is if you do any sort of research at the time, why would someone be admitted into an orphanage? And to your surprise, or maybe not to anyone's surprise, one of the reasons why they would put these people in these insane asylum was for religious fanaticism. So just take that into consideration. What would that mean, like in light of what we're talking about, religious fanaticism? So if for example, they survived this 1,000-year reign like we're talking about, like what if they came out of that alive and yet after that happened, the release of Satan happened, and then he just starts infiltrating and taking over. And just like what they do to people today that are trying to tell the truth, what do they do to them? Well, I mean, you censor them, and and if you can't censor them, you can't shut them up, then you know what they do to you. You're suicided or unalived, you know, whatever people want to call it. But I mean, that's just the honest truth. It's just the same tactics have been going on for probably since the beginning, if that makes sense. But it's just interesting that these people can possibly have been put in there because maybe they didn't want to forget the past. They knew what happened. They knew it already happened, and they're trying to erase that out of their mind. And so it's just like, well, we got to put these people away, shut them up.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy too, as you think about it, like, and I've heard the same thing, and I agree that the orphanages and the insane asylums seem like they obviously have to have some connection. Where did all the kids come from? Maybe they were the kids of the people locked
in. Nobody was just giving up children.
Yeah, locked in the insane asylums. So what does not really make sense based on the narrative. Okay, so this country was established, and we have in the Bill of Rights with the First Amendment being freedom from religion, right? Free speech. And they immediately start building insane asylums and locking people away because they have extreme religious views. Well, how does that square? And also, like, I think what's really interesting is the timeline as far as them going across the country. So obviously these things are everywhere. The orphanages and
they're worried about surviving, supposedly.
Are all across, even on the western part of America. So it's like they're expanding westward and they're saying, well, gosh, we brought a lot of crazy people with us, so we're just going to start building these castles here and we're going to start locking people in them. You know what I mean? It's like, what? You know what I mean? Like you have these frontiermen, these miners, and not only are they taking their wagons across the country, but they're saying, dang, what are we going to do with all these crazy people? Well, if you watched old West movies, you'd think they would just hang them or shoot them. They would not build a castle to house them in.
Exactly.
But yet, we're told they did.
Bro, that's so crazy, dude. Like, when did they build? When did they build these buildings? A lot of these insane asylums and things. What, like, around what time?
I mean, they all have dates in the 1800s, and sometimes they have really strange dates. Where I think there's one in Utah. I have to look it up one day. They had one in Utah. This is the craziest looking prison. And of course, there was nobody who lived there. But what they tell you is, when they first started building it, it was very small, and then it became like a giant castle. They added onto it. It's kind of similar in the way that they would tell a story about how they built this city in 1850 and then it burned down and they built it again and they built it again and built it again because if they said they built the whole city out of stone and brick in 1850, then people would say, they did? So it makes more sense to the narrative that it burned down and then they built again on top of the other city. Because it doesn't make sense that they started immediately building cathedrals and Greco-Roman style buildings as frontiermen and all that stuff. It doesn't make sense.
That is suspicious.
I'm going to go right. Actually, I have another one. I meant to play that one first.
The 1800s to the 1900s, like if they were building it in the 1800s, that's literally the time that like the cowboys are around. Mm-hmm. So that's like horse and buggy and wagon. And they're like, what entire nation? Like they're not like trying to subsidize living quarters. Like they're trying to like survive, you know, like they were like, unless our whole perspective of what we think cowboys are like is like completely false too. You know what I mean?
I think all those Western movies.
Entertainment. Yeah,
I think it's all. Well, no, I think it's,
what if
I think
Western movies are completely fake?
I think they were, it's all propaganda. You know, some people
it
are going to
be
offended.
Bro.
Some people are going to be offended by me saying this, but I was starting
Jesse
to watch.
Jesse James?
No. Well, I was saying it's funny. When I did Ricardo's podcast earlier this year, like the very beginning of the year, that's what I was saying. I was like that I used to like watching Western movies like Tombstone, and I thought that's what the Old West was like. I thought it was like just storefront looking buildings. They're all made of wood. The streets are all muddy.
It's all fake.
All these people are playing cards and cussing and shooting each other. And then meanwhile, at the same time, like San Francisco is thriving, like, you know, like a real fully built city, like with Greco-Roman style buildings. Like that doesn't make sense because, yeah, I'm thinking this is how they lived. They all took wagons everywhere. They all did all this stuff. Now, this is the part that's going to be offensive to some people. And I'm just speaking out loud. I think the Native American story of America is almost completely made up because I was watching the show Yellowstone. And because a lot of people ask, well, wouldn't the Native Americans talked about all this stuff? I don't know what they would have talked about. I don't know how much of their history. Because if you really think about it, that show Yellowstone, you guys watch that with Kevin Costner?
I never.
It's an okay show. But he has this so he's like owns this like 120,000 acres in Montana. He's on the edge of Yellowstone and all this stuff. And he's having battle like with this reservation. And so like
remember the Alamo?
The guy who is like the chief over at the reservation originally thought he was Mexican, and then later he found out he had some heritage. But he was like some kind of politician, some businessman. But then as he's like trying to take power and he's battling back and forth with like the ranchers and stuff, his dream is to go back to just living on the land. And actually he's like, one day these people came out and built houses on our land. And I'm thinking like, you know, what's interesting to think, do we really believe that all these people who lived here for hundreds of years, obviously, again, they didn't live here for thousands of years because the Anasazi were before them. And nobody really knows them. So these people did not build anything anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, so like you have evidence of these certain people, like in Kevin Costner's family, they actually built the stuff on the land. It's like, but the people who originally lived there never built one thing. They've never built any permanent residences. They lived in. I'm not saying some of these people didn't. I'm not saying it's all made up. I'm just saying like that the idea that America had no buildings before Europeans came here. That's insane. Like, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't make sense to me that especially like in Montana, you know, cold it would get, you know what I mean? Like you wouldn't build something a little more permanent if you actually live there, but that's the story
that
we're
told. Teepees, bro. They had teepees.
Yeah, I know that. And I don't doubt they had teepees, but I would say that if you used a teepee, that is when you are moving. Like, I mean, we have camping, you know, we have sleeping bags and we have tents, but we go back to the house we live in when we're done.
Are you saying teepees aren't good enough, JT? Is that what you're saying here?
I'm saying they're probably good. Plenty good if you're camping.
I mean, bro,
but I don't think they're plenty good if you lived in the harsh conditions of like the western part of the country that's like could get really rough in the wintertime. Right.
Yeah, the native people, they just weren't smart enough to do that, you know.
Well, that's what I think that's what they're leading people to believe. And what I'm trying to say, I believe that the Native Americans were likely a multi-ethnic society.
Yeah.
And there was some of them who didn't do as much, some of them did way more. And I think that like the narrative behind that, the cowboys and Indians narrative, I think that that is what's false. I'm not saying that certain people didn't do those things, but I'm saying by and large, there was probably cities and there was probably people in between the cities. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just all in between cities. And the cities weren't in Europe and Asia. They were like, there were cities here. And I think that that story, it kind of goes
TPs are nomadic. So it's really a nomadic kind of thing that you have a teepee in a tent. And so what if it was just like people that didn't want to be a part of the cities just left and went out into the fields or something?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is like that
teepees are supposed to be temporary. That's what you're saying. It just wasn't.
I do believe that existed. And I do believe there was cultures that did that. But I'm trying to say that I think that by and large, that was a fraction of the Native Americans, whoever those people were. Because some people lived in cities. I mean, obviously, in this kind of research, we'd have to conclude there was already cities here. So,
well, there was
castles while they were sleeping in teepees.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, there's a bunch of connections to the Native Americans and Freemasons. I don't know if you know that, but there's some dude that did their jewelry, and he like analyzed their symbols and stuff and their jewelry, and there was some like Freemason Native American chiefs. There was a bunch of interesting stuff connected there, actually.
Well, there was also I read a book and I forgot the guy's name now, but I think his site was called ourfalsehistory.net, and he actually said that the Native American tongue was actually similar to this old German language. Because have you ever wondered how the settlers came over here and they communicated with the natives who didn't speak the language they did? You know, it's interesting, like that. How would they have? Well, we're taught that they taught pilgrims how to eat and plant crops and feed themselves, or they were going to starve. But somehow they communicated. Even like the story in Virginia and North Carolina, about the Pocahontas story, that John Smith was one of the first people who came over here from England, and he married this native. And then she
was like a child, by the way.
Right. Oh, but I mean, it's like, but you know what I'm saying? Like when this, there's some kind of a disconnect between like how these people actually mesh together with these people. And then of course I do believe that it's possible that they did know more than we're ever taught, because that's why they don't, there's not a lot of them left.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the real story, that they got pushed into these certain places, almost like they didn't put them in the insane asylum castles. They just shoved them into a small corner of this country, and then generation dies out, and then the stories are kind of just like, oh yeah, these people are just they like to talk. They say stuff that's you know, they have a different narrative than we're told, but it's also different than the one they teach us, like the woke people telling us about the Columbus stuff. That's how bad a guy he was. But then all these other people are just living off the land, just like they're the. They're the Na'vi from Avatar, just living at peace with the land and everything's perfect with Mother Nature and all that stuff. I don't buy that for one second.
Yeah, I got something interesting for you too, just concerning the Native Americans. You said that the language seemed real similar to German. Mm-hmm. I know that we're trying to piece everything together, but one thing that I've heard before too is that in the old Native American, you know, they used to be in tribes, and people have wondered, like, are these the lost tribes of Israel and all that? And that supposedly there was like 12 tribes of these Native Americans, and that their language is actually similar to the old ancient Hebrew. And what's interesting is there's this lady who wrote this book called He Walked the Americas. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
Was this a Mormon? Because that's what the Mormons believe.
No, she's not Mormon. And see, this here's another thing that I want to touch on that too. So in light of all of that, I think that there may be some truth to some of these other religions, you know what I'm saying? But like Satan has has basically infiltrated and corrupted it to where immediately, like what you just said right there, and I mean no offense to that whatsoever, but like people they hear, well, isn't that Mormon? And right away, boom, they turn off their mind. Don't even consider it. It's like, oh, well, that's a Mormon thing. It can't be true. But this lady isn't, she doesn't even claim to be Mormon either. And she went and she's supposedly interviewed all of these tribes. And I'll read to you right here too what the summary on the book says.
I just gotta say, Ricardo, are you Hispanic? Are you Hispanic? Are you like, what is your national? Okay, good. So you're a Native American, bro. So we can talk about this just for any viewers. He's a Native American, so we can't get blacklisted, guys. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so this.
It's totally a coincidence that we had you on the show today.
But catch this. This is a book named written by a lady named Taylor Hansen. And so this is the summary that it gives here on this book. It says, almost 2,000 years ago, a mysterious white man walked from tribe to tribe among the American nations. He came to Peru from the Pacific. He traveled through the South and Central America among the Mayans into Mexico and all of North America, then back to ancient Tula, from whence he departed across the Atlantic to the land of his origin, who was this white prophet who spoke 1,000 languages, healed the sick, raised the dead, and taught in the same words of Jesus himself. These are true Indian legends gathered during 25 years of research by L. Taylor Hansen, archaeologist from many different tribes all over the Americas. By consulting museums, libraries, and experts on folklore, it has been possible to correlate the findings into this fascinating book, backed up by the spades of the diggers into ancient ruins, and by all the sciences with which L. Taylor Hansen is familiar. This is a book.
L. Taylor Hansen?
That's what it says.
The name of the person's L, first
L. L dot. I guess it's like an abbreviation. It didn't seem like you want
to. Okay, keep going.
So
keep going.
This is a book that will back up the New Testament of the East with the Christian Indian legends of the West. And this book is proof that the Savior came not only to one continent but to all the world. This book will strengthen your faith as no other could. That's a summary it gives right there.
That's super interesting. One thing I would say is that I don't think Jesus was a white man. So that's the only thing.
I'm just
telling
you what they said,
But it's interesting. But I also will tell you that Kuku Khan was a white man.
Right, I was thinking Quetzalcoatl, too. That's Quetzalcoatl, the same story.
So it's very fascinating because the Mormons believe that that Quetzalcoatl is Jesus. Okay,
yeah,
so they believe
that's what I was getting at.
Interesting.
That's what I was thinking.
But it's very obvious that Quetzalcoatl is not Jesus; it's Satan. So it's very, he's an El. He's an Elohim, actually.
He's the plume serpent.
And they say he didn't want human sacrifice, but all the other gods did. No, he did want human sacrifice. In fact, you can look at the drawings of the plume serpent eating humans. And it's very obvious that Quetzalcoatl wanted human sacrifice. Like, so they try to write it off and be like, no, he didn't want human sacrifice. No, fool. Why do all the drawings show him eating people then? Like, clearly it's not a good thing. And so,
That's interesting. Yeah, the last week we showed that video of them, the guy doing the Quetzalcoatl plume serpent dance in the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
For reals. Yeah. So the L's, though, and this is interesting that the person's name calls himself L. So anytime I hear the word L, I'm always very suspicious because I'm just like
L period L, or E-L.
L, yeah. E-L, L period, anything that's L sounding because there's like this thing where like the Lord has like set some rule in place where like demons have to like announce their selves. Okay.
Yeah, so the L is without like of excuse. The Lord. Right.
Yeah, about Spanish, L just means it's a masculine. Yeah.
Yes. Because they took over Spanish because pan-ish was pan-ish. Ish means like. Pan, pan-ish means like pan. People like pan. Just like his pan-ick, pan, ick means people. Pan. Hispanic means people of Pan. Like, this is literally the Spanish and Hispanic lineage. So, like, there's a lot of people that are Spanish or Hispanic that are really, there's people that are, like, hairy from the waist down and have zero hair on your chest up. I had a friend that was like this. And we made fun, we would just, like, laugh at him when we go swimming. And we were like, he's like a woolly mammoth from the waist down. But, like, from the chest up, no hair. And there's, and, like, you might, like, bro, if you're Hispanic, it's possible you could be like that even. And, like, it's because they're like Pan. Because there was, like, a hybridization of Nephilim genome sequence that went into the Spaniards. So the Spaniard people were like this. And then they came over, Spaniards, okay? Pan, yeah. Okay? Spaniard. That's what they're saying. They're like people that are like Pan, that are like the goat god, half hairy on the waist down, chest up. They have been Nephilimized, hybridized. And so this is like, this is literally where this all stems from. And so they came over to the America people and mixed in, but the white people were also like Nephilimized lineage people that were like supposedly the elves, the Elohims. They were supposedly good guys and they taught them stuff. And they acted like good, and the Native American people praised these things because that's where they got their perfect calendar from. That's where the Aztecs got their information from. And so, like, it is possible that it's Jesus. I wouldn't put it past Jesus to like just show up and like go through Americas at all. Like, I'd be like, dude, yeah, like it could totally be Jesus. It could totally be him just showing up and being like, yo, hey, I'm here, because like the stories of Jesus coming were in the Americas. Like the story of Machu Picchu. I don't know if you know this, but there was a star. My friend is Peruvian. Oh, it cut out.
You got muted for a second.
Okay. And in Peru, one of my best friends is Peruvian, and I asked him, I'm like, hey, what's the actual native story in Peru about what Machu Picchu is about? Right. And he's just like, okay, well, this is the story that my people know, my family knows, but it's not like the common story that is put out there in the narrative. He's like, but this is what happened. There was not the people. Not us, not the Peruvians built Machu Picchu, but a race of deformed giant homosexuals, okay? Homosexual deformed giants built Machu Picchu, okay? I'm not even joking. This is what they believe. And then a star came down one day and shone really brightly and scared the giants off, and they went into the hills and killed themselves, and they just disappeared after the star. Well, that star is the Star of Bethlehem, because they knew the prophecy that said, the when the sun came, it says he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. And so all the giant Nephilim remain people said, oh shoot, the Star of Bethlehem, that's the Son of God, he's coming to crush our head. And they went and killed themselves. And so they knew that prophecy in South America. They knew that prophecy even there. So it's not far stretched for Jesus to somehow make an appearance and show up and be like, yo, well, hey, I'm that star, I'm that thing that you saw.
Yeah, here's what I was going to just say, and then we'll move on to the next video. But here's an interesting idea is that, yeah, what if that some of, like, not saying there wasn't a plume serpent, not saying there wasn't these demonic entities doing the same thing, but what if that, again, in the Little Season idea, that there was 1,000 years before all these people we know have these stories, what if there really was a story of Jesus being around here? You know, because people have often wondered if... if the saints had this 1,000-year reigns, did Jesus come down to the earth and interact with people?
Right.
What if that's evidence that he did? And we're still trying to say, no, that was the devil. It was some kind of other thing. What if it was?
Right. Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there just for anyone who wants to just like kind of dig into that a little more, consider, because what else is interesting, and we've talked about this in one of our podcasts, and the podcast name is called Or just like the correlation between certain things that are in the Bible, but yet they're only found in America, which is weird. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like gopher wood, corn is in the Bible. Even the red heifers that they got.
Yeah, they had to go from Texas to get them.
Yeah, where'd they get them? They got them in Texas. And what's crazy, even rams, those are native to America as well. In the Bible they had the ram's horns and all that, so
obviously God provided a ram to Abraham.
Wait a second, rams are not in over there? They're not over there at all?
They're native to America.
Maybe that's a translational error, or do you think it's like, that's interesting, that's really interesting.
Remember Vitaly, he's the one who pointed out when they were saying that the apostles were going like, and they're picking off corn.
Yep.
And yeah, they're picking off corn. And some of the translations said wheat. And he's like, "Did it? There's other words for wheat." And he was saying like that you would get sick if you just started eating raw grains, but you could probably eat raw corn. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of weird things here. Let's keep it moving. I want to go to this next video. I'm not sure how much time we got left, but this one is, it piggybacks on the last one we had. And this is, once again, a famous TikToker we have not seen in a while.
People often ask me, if there was a reset in the early 1800s, wouldn't everybody have to be in on it? Surely someone would have said something. But that's just the thing. Anyone that didn't follow the narrative or speak about the old world was thrown into one of these insane asylums. Did you know that in the 1800s, all across America and Canada, these insane asylums was opened? Understanding that many of these cities was only just founded, where do you think they was getting all of these insane people from? And how did they know there was going to be so many that they decided to build these massive structures to hold them in? This is the Central Lunatic Asylum in Ohio, built in 1832. And it looks just like a repurposed castle. This is the Columbia State Hospital, also in Ohio. And this was the biggest building in the United States until the Pentagon was built. And if you've been following me, you will know that I don't believe they even built this hospital. I believe it was from the old world, and they repurposed it as a detention center for anyone that spoke about the truth. I mean, just look. This is the St. Vincent Hospital in St. Louis, and they say it was built in 1894 and opened in 1895. So you're trying to tell me this took 1 year to build? So like I said, anyone that spoke about the reset was silenced.
Yeah, that's a good one. In one year?
Yeah, no.
Now, Brian, you got a good call there. You were mentioning that one crazy hospital. There's nothing around it.
Just desolate all around.
You know, I think that's a common theme where I've seen a lot of those things. Because again, I go back to Yellowstone. I was watching that, and I remember that Helena is the capital of Montana, and that has a crazy. They show it often in the show. They show like the state capitol building. Mm-hmm. When you see the pictures of it being built, where it's at. It's just like, yeah, it's in some desolate looking place, and it's just standing there all its lonesome.
Elaborate building in the middle of nowhere. What in tarnation? I done near got to talk like this from now on, because now I know this talking like this back in the day is probably fake.
You know what? You're going to have to, because you brought that up, I'm going to have to go right to the next video because I'm going to do back to back Bully Slayer videos. Because this video cracked me up.
I'm just blown away. Like thinking about right now that the forest time, the cowboy times ain't real.
Check this out.
Oh, we've got your ass. We've got your ass now. Now this is what it looked like after the last reset. So after the fall of the Tartarian Empire, there was a lot of Tartarian tech just lying about, and the settlers, which you know as the founders, moved in and salvaged what they could. I mean, how many times have I told you that these men with the horse and wagon did not build these structures, and this is not their technology? Are you trying to tell me that they would build train tracks, tram lines and carts, but didn't know how to build an engine? Come on, brother. This is what it would look like in today's day and age. It's like somebody riding up on a horse, finding a jeep, but didn't have a key, and decided to use horsepower. And this is why they used to say, "What in tarnation is going on?" Because when it came to Tartaria, they didn't have a clue.
What in tarnation?
That's some real horsepower. You know what's funny is that the word horsepower, because the reality is, like, if we started converting it into cars, right? We supposedly built an engine. Why would you immediately equate it to horsepower? Like, horsepower is literally because you know something is being pulled by so many horses. But if you made an engine, you have no relevancy to what that power is. Like, it's kind of silly, but like, seeing that picture of the horse pulling something on a train track gives me a better perspective of why you would equate it to horsepower.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That is really
interesting. Got 2 horsepower.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Stagecoach. It's like, it's got 6 horsepower. This one, this, here, check this out here. This is,
hey, one moment. So, just even the railroad tracks were, all the infrastructure, if you think about it, it was already there. Like, they didn't even build the railroads. It's just like they inherited everything. And one thing to consider is, what if, you know, in the millennial reign of Christ, even at that time, they were still required to go once a year, right, to the feast of what was it,
the Stukot? You know, I'm still on the fence if that was like a literal. I think that was
could have been a figurative.
I think, yeah, that was a heavenly thing, because I don't think they were going back. Because some people have brought that up, but the more I read my Bible, I'm thinking like that a lot of these are references to the current law as they stand now. So I think that any of those, what that would mean would be, yeah, a symbolic thing, and I think that would be a spiritual thing. Because, yeah, because if you read even Ezekiel about like the new temple that's way bigger than the one they ever built, it's talking about them sacrificing animals again. So I don't think Jesus came, died, rose again, came back, and then they start doing the old law again.
Yeah, right. I don't think so either. I think that's a little bit questionable. But it is I get what you mean though, Ricardo. Like, that's an interesting idea that like maybe they built the railroads to make their pilgrimage back or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is fascinating and interesting.
I was trying to see, like, if I have a picture. Mm-hmm. There's actually pictures of the railroads, them digging them up. Have you ever seen those, Ricardo?
I've seen something of that. I've seen something like that.
You think them laying tracks, but they really weren't laying tracks. When you see some pictures of them, you can tell that they were literally digging up the tracks.
Mm.
Let me see.
The tracks, even the, what is it, the canalways, like all of that infrastructure, like it was already there, and it just makes you wonder. that's all.
Yeah, let me see.
It's like the big statue of the heads around Mount Rushmore. Makes you wonder a little.
Yeah,
bit.
You know what I said? Okay. If you want me to, I'll speculate really wildly now. Because this is a theory that I've got. What if, again, in the same kind of vein, is like, we really don't buy that they built these buildings. Do we really believe that some guy, like by himself, basically carved out Mount Rushmore and was hanging out with dynamite and stuff and made it look so immaculate, and like the eye, even like the eyes almost look lifelike? Okay, so what if he didn't? So that would likely believe that these were already there too. So then the stories of some of the early presidents, you know, would really not fit anymore. So I've wondered this, that when you see, like, you go to the Washington Monument, you go to the Lincoln Memorial, I went to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I went to their state capitol building. There's George Washington there, and I didn't realize it was George Washington because it was some guy who was dressed up like a Roman. And then you think about the other George Washington statues where he's sitting straight looking like Zeus. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what if that he literally was some kind of Roman governor someplace here? You know, like, you put him back way far, and now it's like, well, dang, we got all these statues of him anywhere. Maybe we're going to have to say he's the first president. Except for when you actually look up who's the first president, it ain't him. There was like 8 presidents. You know, I think if you go with the Continental Congress, there was like 16 presidents maybe before him. There was like 8 presidents of the United States before George Washington.
Well, guys, it's President's Day. The day we celebrate the birthday of George Washington, our 15th president. What's that? Our first president? No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
When I found out there were 8 presidents before George Washington, I wanted to smack somebody.
In 1776, America declared independence from Great Britain. In 1781, the Articles of Confederation were ratified. In 1783, a treaty was signed in Paris where Great Britain acknowledged the United States as a sovereign country. Guys, George Washington didn't become president until 1789. So all these guys were president before George Washington. Peyton Randolph being the first. Well, you know, if you want to get technical, he was just the president of the Continental Congress. But in 1781, Samuel Huntington became the first president of the United States. And John Hanson was the first president to serve out his full term. So then why do we celebrate George Washington as the first? That's a great question. Well, it could be because some considered him to be a god, maybe. Or it could be just like Napoleon said, that history is a set of lies agreed upon. Whatever the reason, I don't know. But he wasn't the first. He was just the most famous.
But they always tell us he was the first. So why do they tell us he's the first? Maybe because they got to explain how important this guy was to this early country. There's an empty tomb to him. There's an obelisk to him.
A whole obelisk, yeah.
You know, and then so now you look at the Mount Rushmore. Yeah, look at the weird imagery. And I know the many people who've looked at like the Fall Brothers did the Belly of the Beast, and you have the layout of Washington D.C. and you have the Lincoln Memorial on one side, and then you have the reflection pond, and then you have like the you have the Washington Monument, and then you have the pregnant belly here, and so you have Lincoln. And then you have this phallic thing, and then you have the Capitol building where you have the empty tomb to him, and you have him in the belly, in the rotunda, in his ascension.
Mm-hmm.
What if that has something to do with like some Roman pagan stuff, and that's why it's there? Maybe that has something to do with something long before 1776 and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why those guys are depicted on Mount Rushmore. That's why I think even I went to, it's funny, I was just in Charlottesville yesterday, and Charlottesville has Monticello, you know, where Thomas Jefferson lived. And if you ever visited that place, his bed is like 4 foot long. He's like 6'4". And they said he sleeps sitting up or something like that. They said that was what they did back in the day. Oh, they'll tell you that. And you go in the place and you're
wait, what?
They said he slept sitting up.
Who says this?
The people who take you on the tour.
Nobody does that.
Look it up. Look it up, bro. Like that's what they say. And of course, I'm just like,
his bed is four foot.
It's not as long as his body. I know. I 100% say. I'm not sure if it's 4 foot, but it's really small. But you go to these places, and it does not look like anyone lived there. It doesn't look like a normal house. There's no even dining room area. There's no big tables there. It's this estate. It's the weirdest thing. It's almost like this is all made up. Like this stuff is all like the 100% of this seems like a lie. Mm-hmm. They're just making stuff up because it makes no sense. Yeah,
we're in a big simulation.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson. So you got Thomas Jefferson, obviously Abraham Lincoln, and you have Washington. What's the weird outlier to me is Teddy Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. How did Teddy Roosevelt get on Mount Rushmore? Because he was a good hunter? Because he got shot once when he was giving a speech and he continued to give the speech? Like what? You know what I'm saying? Like that you have, wouldn't it make more sense if it was somebody like John Adams, right? Like somewhere contemporary of these other founders. Like, so obviously Teddy Roosevelt's not a founder. He's supposedly like what? Like in the 1900s, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not that impressive.
I'm saying like I'm, at this point I'm not even sure.
What is the agenda that says even when they carved out Mount Rushmore? What is there a date on that?
I'll look that up real quick.
Yeah, I should have. Because what you're saying, it strikes a chord with me for sure. Especially just how did they do all that? You know, unless it was beforehand.
It's so well done, and it really does look like the depictions that we've seen of those people. It's so well done. Like it really,
yeah, it's insane.
It's amazing.
I'll try to find. Yeah, the fact that somebody did that, which is like just hanging from a swing stage, and and dynamiting, and as they're dynamiting part of it.
There's an image right there in the middle. It's got them hanging on the edge. For those rock climbers on the edge right there.
Yeah, can you imagine carving that thing out?
No.
Is that an old photo of them carving it out below that one? Right there, below there?
Those are maintenance guys. I'm just kidding.
Look how stupid that looks.
There's no way.
Like, would you like how would you know where to begin when you're doing that?
Oh, there's
you don't have any perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, you to take, I don't know. You don't. You couldn't put yourself far enough back. You know what I'm saying? To have that kind of detail like that.
Okay, so here's what we're told, based on it was built between 1927 and 1941.
What?
Yeah. And so it said, let me see how many people it says were involved
in. I remember it used to be like a big deal when I was a child. We would always talk about it. And now it's kind of like pushed to the side. And like I've mentioned Mount Rushmore to somebody before. And they're like, what is that? Like to some young kid. They like don't even know. They like don't even know what it is. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I don't. I think what's really weird about this is that they did this thing and they did it sort of in a place that's really not very accessible to the majority of the country. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like you're just doing this kind of like you're going to spend that much time and resources to do that. And it's really so disconnected from the rest of us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's you know, when you do that somewhere like even I think was it there's that place in Georgia where they have like some Confederate stuff like on some mountain, but that's probably not when they said it was done either, because it seems weird to me that somebody says, hey, let's carve these guys' faces into this mountain, and you're like, yeah, that sounds like a interesting idea, that seems a bit ambitious for just you yourself and your son to go do it. It's like, what do you need? Well, I need some rope and some dynamite and some chisels.
Yeah.
And if you're like, oh, shoot, I took too much of his nose off. Yeah, but like they literally made it perfect. I think they did say they messed it up once and they had to dynamite and start again. But you're like,
nah.
This is like made of green. Isn't that like mountain made of green or something like that?
Yeah, they just had better work ethic than you do, JT. That's a problem.
That's what they always tell me. They always say to me like, on my one video I keep on getting so much pushback about because I say I don't believe the timeline. They're always like, this guy doesn't know anything about construction. He's never built a thing in his life. And I was like, well, my family actually owns a commercial construction company, and I've been a part owner for the last 20 years. But besides that, I don't know that much about it. I mean, honestly, I do know that there's less craftsmen than there used to be. But at the same time, like just that whole idea of like them doing all this stuff. What's interesting to me is like the timeline of when they did that. The Mount Rushmore, that's similar around the time they were doing Hoover Dam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another massive project. And it's kind of like, I've wondered that because obviously I've done so many videos about the Hoover Dam, but I never considered like, what if the Hoover Dam was already there? Like who would know?
Yeah.
You know, in this early time, like they just said they built it. What if they repurposed part of it? And that was part of what the construction was. What if some of that stuff was already there? I mean, because it's like, who would be alive to know about what the western part of the America looked like before Lake Mead was there and all the stuff they got submerged and all that stuff.
That's a problem is that we're getting to a point now, like you had mentioned Mount Rushmore, to where it's getting pushed out to like, it's already been 100 years or close to it since they did that. And pretty much no one is alive today either to confirm or deny if that's true or not. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the issue there is it's just getting too far in the past to where no one is alive anymore to confirm those things.
Yeah.
Bro, with over 100 years of difference, you could lie to the entire world and make them believe something within 100 years. You could totally change the narrative within 100 years of anything.
Yeah.
Of anything.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, I think that at this point it's really hard to know like that. And maybe if that's the thing, it's like, it's, even based on the current timeline, that what if they were again like the timeline of them creating Mount Rushmore was them just kind of restoring it, you know, versus like actually carving it from literally a straight up mountain. This is a good mountain to just start carving into. Wouldn't you do it next to the highway or something? You know, like a major highway where everyone would see it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I think maybe we should just end it on that because I think that's a we'll let you guys in the comments let you guys speculate wildly. Do you think the stories of the Native Americans are exaggerated? Do you think the construction of these insane asylums and orphanage, do you believe they built castles to house foster kids and crazy people?
Do you down there believe that the Western world of the cowboys and Indians is a true story? Then they're talking about this up there, shooting them with cowboy guns, you know what I'm saying?
You know, and I mentioned to Ricardo back in the day, Wyatt Earp, probably one of the most famous cowboys there ever was. That dude lived into the times where he was training Hollywood actors to be cowboys. So it wasn't even that long ago. I mean, like, I think to me, that's that when I first heard that, that blew my mind. And
wait, Wyatt Earp taught people about to be cowboys?
Yeah, because you're really thinking about it, like, we're the story of Tombstone, like the shootout in the OK Corral, I want to say that was the 1880s. And then so he didn't die till 1929. And he lived like in Hollywood.
Bro, what if he's like a basically MK Ultra dude that was,
MK Ultra. I think it was before MK Ultra. I mean, they might have had some old school.
Well, they had before MK Ultra, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that, again, if who better to lie about what happened back in those days than one of the guys who was supposedly there?
Wyatt Earp's a liar. That's it. It's done.
Well, Wyatt Earp is what's interesting is that, you know, not to go too far in this rabbit hole, but Wyatt Earp, even if you watch the movies, He was not a good guy. He was one of the good guys, but he was really not. I mean, a lot of stuff happened in those shootouts, and I don't know if it was all fair. He fought fair. But they do make you like, that's the thing about Western movies. They do actually make you like the bad guys, kind of. Like all the Clint Eastwood stuff, he's never like a white hat. He's the gray hat. He does whatever he needs to do. And that's kind of what they tell you in that. It's like, that's why people are enamored with the Wild West, is that you could kind of do whatever you wanted to do. A do what thou wilt attitude.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, anyways, guys, on that note, we're going to end. Once again, you guys check out the latest episode of Ancient Angels. Check out Demon Racers. Links are in the description. Ricardo, really appreciate having you
come on.
You got anything you want to promote? Tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, sure. So I got a YouTube channel. It's called Contend for the Faith. Trying to build that up since TikTok has been totally shadow banning me and stuff like that. So if you guys want to check out similar content to what we have here, we are doing that over at the YouTube channel. And also Question the Narrative. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and we have a lot of good information on there, and some of which I can't post on YouTube for obvious reasons. So if you want to avail yourselves to that content, come give us a visit. I'd appreciate it. Thanks, JT.
Of course, anytime. Well, anyways, guys, appreciate you guys. Love y'all. God bless.
Closer, my child.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.